All right, I want to thank, as always, Daniela for opening up her bias to be together here to learn Torah, to prepare for the Halo Giyantav Abaleinu Latoiva, the Yantav of Purim. And the Shir tonight, as well, is sponsored by Julia Blumenthal and her Mishpacha. L'il Nishmas, four very special people to her, that all of their yurtzeits fall out in the month of Adar. Her grandmother, Miral Bas Rav Chaim Eliyahu Alevi, her great-aunt, Dina Bas Rav Avram David, her Zaidi Rav Moshe Shmuel David ben Rav Moshe Aaron, and her great-grandmother, Sarah Feiga Bas Rav Avram David. Mi'etz Hashem, all the neshamas should have an aliyah, all the Torah that we learn should be Le'ilei Nishmasam, and the Mi'etz Hashem, we should only have simcha and bracha, and it should be a big schluss for entire mishpacha. You know, Purim is definitely a very, very exciting time. A time full of simcha, a time that we're excited for. But the truth is, sometimes when we think about it, it's one of those days that's a little bit more so geared towards men than women. Sometimes there's a little bit kinah I've heard over the years from women. You have men going to the yeshivas and dancing and the Purim Suda, even though obviously women should partake in all of this as well on some level, but it's a little bit more connected, it's a little bit easier for men to get involved in, similar to Simchas Torah in that way. And sometimes as women you feel like a bystander, okay, you're hanging over and trying to get a glimpse and watch the dancing, which is also beautiful, and there's also a chizik from that. But let's be real, it's not the same as actually dancing with the Torah, right? I want to talk about tonight one area of Purim, and obviously, don't get me wrong, I'm sure there are beautiful get-togethers for women on Purim, and all the mitzvahs of the day apply, as we spoke about before, to women in the same way that they do to men. But one specific area that people don't focus on enough, in the koyach ha-Purim, that's within Purim, in the essence of what Purim is all about, and what we can connect to on Purim, that all of you can connect to on the highest of levels, and maybe much more so than men. And if you look, today was Tainus Esther. And Tainus Esther, besides for being right before Purim, this year was Nidche, it was a little bit, a few days before Purim, which I think actually, based on what we're about to discuss, can be even more meaningful in a way. Tainus Esther, on some level, seemingly is supposed to be Hachana, is supposed to be preparation for Purim. There's something to Tainus Esther that should be preparation for Purim. So you have to understand what Tainus Esther is about to try to understand how it's preparation for Purim. Now, seemingly, it's the complete antithesis to Purim, right? Today I'm fasting, I'm not eating, I'm down, I'm a little out, I'm tired, I'm sluggish. How's that our preparation for Purim? So what is Tainus Esther all about? Tainus Esther is a very interesting day. It's very different than any other fast day. Every other fast day, well, Yom Kippur is on its own plateau. We're not going to discuss that. That's its own type of fast day. It's the only fast day that's midiraisa, the only fast day that's from the Torah, and has its own reasonings, which hopefully we all understand. But every other fast day is pretty much, on some level, a connection to Churban Beis HaMikdash. And remembering and commemorating a tragedy. Tisha B'Av, Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, Asar B'Teves, Tzum Gedalia. They're all about tragedy. They're all about destruction. And therefore, they're sad days. They're days of serious tshuva and introspection. Tainus Esther is completely different. Tainus Esther, we could coin as, in a certain sense, a happy fast day. What is Tainus Esther about? I'll read you from the words of the Mishnah Berurah when he discusses Tainus Esther. The Mishnah Berurah says, it's in Tuf Reish, Pei Vav, Sivkatam Beis, he says, Ki b'mei Mordechai ve'Esther, during the days of Mordechai and Esther, Nikalu b'yom yud gimel b'adar lilachim. The Jews gathered together to fight on the 13th of Adar, which is generally Tainus Esther. La'amod al nafsham, to stand strong, to literally save their lives. Vayitzrichim levachish rachamim zachanunim shiyazrim Hashem. And they needed to beseech Hashem, they needed to daven, they needed to ask Hashem, and plead to Hashem, li'noke me'ovehem, to save them from their enemies. L'chein, therefore, and they were, obviously, those tefillos were answered, as we know. We were victorious. L'chein, nagu, kol Yisrael, therefore the minhag has become for all B'nai Yisrael, is anos b'yid gimel b'adar, to fast on the 13th of Adar. V'nikra Tainus Esther. That's called Tainus Esther. K'day Litzkar, to remember, Shashem Yisbar Roa V'shomea Kol Ish. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees and listens to every individual. Be'ez Saras, at a time of difficulty, Kasher Yis'ane V'yashav Hashem B'chol Levavach Moshe Asa B'yamim. When we fast, and we return to Hashem, and we daven, like he did then. In other words, we're celebrating a geula, a redemption. Nothing bad ultimately happened, Purim, because our tefillos were answered, and we daven again in the same vein, believing that Hashem's going to answer our tefillos today. In other words, the whole essence of Tainus Esther as the achana for Purim is to have a serious day of tefillah, to have a serious day to daven to Hashem because we believe in the koach of tefillah, to remind ourselves that we believe in the power of prayer. Just like B'nai Yisrael in the time of Purim, their tefillos were answered, we believe our tefillos will be answered. And that's a beautiful thing. And that's such chizik, that's such inspiration. And seemingly, if that's the hachana, that's the preparation, that's so much what Purim is all about. The Purim is a day to deeply focus on tefillah. And to dive into Hashem, all that we need, all that we're wanting in our lives. And to believe that those tefillos will be answered by the Ribbono Shel Olam. Let me read you a medrash that I think really brings home the message by Purim itself. Because that was Tainus Esther. So let's talk about Purim. So Purim, we all know the storyline. We all know there's a threat to annihilate the Jewish nation. Now everybody's up and scared about this. Now not only us in this world, but the tzaddikim in the next world, and Eliyahu HaNavi specifically. Eliyahu HaNavi is all worried what's going to be with Bnei Yisrael, the Medrash says. The Medrash in Esther Rabbah, Zayin Yud Gimel. He says, Ba'osa Shah, at the moment when there was this gzera, this decree against the Jewish nation, Ratz Eliyahu Zachur Latov Bivala. Eliyahu started running around in the upper realms in like a craziness, basically. He went Eitzel Avos Olam Ve'Eitzel Moshe Ben Amram. He went to Avram, to Yaakov, went to Moshe. How long are you going to stay in your slumber? He says this to Avraham and Yaakov. How long are you going to stay in your slumber? Don't you see the pain, the suffering of your children below? The Malachim, and the sun, and the moon, and the stars, and all the constellations, heaven and earth, they're all crying bitter tears, what's going on down there. You just stand there and you don't see what's going on? Imagine, if I told you this and I didn't tell you it was a medrash, you think I'm crazy, that I don't know if he would talk like this. He's talking like this to the others, the Avraham and Yaakov. Amrullah, they say to him, Mibnei Ma, why is it happening? Why is there such a gzera? Because they went and they enjoyed and they benefited the Suda of Achashverosh. The Jews went to that party at the beginning of the Megillah, as we all know, right? And what was that party for? That party was a celebration of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. That party was Achashverosh saying, there's a Nevuah, there's a prophecy that after 70 years the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt. According to his calculation, which was wrong, 70 years was up, no Beis HaMikdash. Prove to the world there's not going to be a second Beis HaMikdash. I'm the king forever. And he celebrated, and that's why he brought out all the kalim of the Beis HaMikdash, and he dressed in the big day kahuna. And that the Jews went to that party was a tremendous disgrace to God. He said, that's why this is happening. He tells Eliyahu HaNavi, he says this to the Avos. Because of that, there's a decree to destroy them from the world forever. Amru lo avrin to Yaakov. Imem avru al das HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'nechtum ha-gzerasam, Manu Yecholim La'asos. After Yaakov, say back, if they did that, and God made a decree and sealed that decree, and they went against the word of God, what do you want us to do? What do you want us to do? Chazer Eliyahu Amar Lo Moshe, Yiroya Neman Kama Pam Mata Al Peretz Yisrael Ibaltik Zirasam Vilti Ashkles. He goes now to Moshe Rabbeinu. He says, Moshe Rabbeinu, how many times did you daven for Klal Yisrael? Did you save Klal Yisrael when we were supposed to be destroyed by Chet Egel, by the Meraglim? Matana Atzorzos, what are you going to answer about this pain, about this suffering? What are you going to do? Amar Lo Moshe. Listen to what Moshe says back. Listen to this, everyone. Klum Yesh Adam Kasher Bosa Dor. Is there anybody that's Adam Kasher in that door? Is there any tzaddik in that generation down there? So Eliyahu Navi says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Amar lo yesh, there is. Who is it? Ushmo Mordechai. His name is Mordechai. Amar lo, he says to Eliyahu Navi, Leich vodia kedei sheyamud hu misham b'tfila. Go tell him that he has to daven from there. Vani mekan, and I'm going to daven from here. Go tell him from me, from Moshe Rabbeinu. He has to daven, I'll daven. Uvakesh rachem emaleim, and we together will ask mercy. Levnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amar lo, Roa Nemat. Eliyahu Navi says back to Moshe Rabbeinu, Kfar nichtava yigarz kaya Yisrael. Because he just heard from the Avos, there's already a gzera sealed, there's nothing to do. So he says to Moshe, what's the tefillah going to help? There's already, it was written, the gzera is already sealed. Amar lo Moshe, im betit hu chasima, tefillah seinu nishmas. Vim bedam nichtama ma shahayahu. He says, if it's sealed in cement, then we could still, our tefillah could still have atzlacha, could still have success. If it's sealed in blood, there's nothing we could do. Amar lo betiti chasuma. Eliyahu Navi says, don't worry, it's sealed in cement. We'll come back to this a little bit later, what the difference between cement and blood is. Amar lo Moshe, Rabbeinu leich vodiyah l'Mordechai, go tell Mordechai. Miyad holach vodiyah l'Mordechai. And he went and told Mordechai, if you pay attention to the Megillah, you see allusions to this whole discussion. So what do we see from here? What do we see from this medrash? We see from this medrash that Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, there's a gzera in the world, what's the answer? There's one answer. It's tefillah. It's davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu at all is Tainus Esther, but davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the entire Geula of Purim. And we're being reminded by celebrating Purim to daven again. It's not just what once was, let's continue to daven. For our personal tzaras, for our personal suffering, whatever we're going through in life. For our desires. If we're zoyche to have everything good, we have other people in lives we have to daven for. We can't stop davening. Everything in the world needs tefillah. Without tefillah, there would be nothing. You know, we're in the middle of the Parshios, actually, right now. We're in the middle of the Parshios. When it gets soon to Parshas Pekudei, but we're in the middle of the Parshios discussing the building of the Mishkan. And all the way to the end of the building of Mishkan, in Parshas Pekudei, in Perek Lamed Tes, Pasuk Mem Gimel, the Pasuk says, Vayar Moshe es kol ha-malacha. Moshe saw all the malach, everything done. He saw everything that was done. Vine asu aso kasher tziva Hashem kein asu. And they saw that everything was done the way Hashem wanted. Vayavarach osam Moshe. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave a bracha. What was the bracha? Rashi says, Yiratzon jetishra shechina b'masi yedeichem. It's so it should be that the Shechina should reside here. Moshe Rabbeinu gives such a bracha after the Mishkan. Hashem himself says, build a Mishkan and I'm going to reside there. We need Moshe Rabbeinu's bracha? God needs Moshe Rabbeinu's bracha? God already said, if you build a Mishkan, I'm going to come, I'm going to reside there. So I need to give a bracha. The teretz is that even the Rabbeinu Hashem says that he wants to do, it always needs a tefillah. The tefillah is what concretizes the desires even of the Ribbono Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, that the world runs on prayer. That's how the world works. And we have to daven for everything. And there's nothing that we shouldn't be davening for. It's the whole essence of the world, the essence of being a Yid. You know, in Parshas Yisro, when talking in the Aseret HaDibros of other gods, Lo Yilecha Elohim Acherim, if you look in Rashi there, not to have other gods, what makes another god, that Rashi says, To'akim aleim ve'einam onim oso, v'domim kilo acher, that they pray to their gods and they don't answer them. You know, the essence of what it is to have a Rabbeinu Shalom and to be part of the Jewish nation is that we pray to our gods and we are answered. That our tefillos are answered, and that's something very real. This afternoon, right before Mincha, to have a Mincha in Yeshiva and DRS, the end of the day today, it was half a day for Tainus Esther, it's around 12:30. There was a Talmud right near me, and the Talmud was complaining a little bit because on the test schedule, there's a Gemara Bechina tomorrow. And he felt that on a Tainus, it's not a good opportune time to be chazering, and meaning he's tired, he's weak, he's not going to be able to learn well. It's not the best time. He was complaining that the yeshiva made such a thing. Okay. So there was another Rebbe over there, and the Rebbe says, so go and daven now that the snow is going to happen. You know, right now, the snow in the forecast. He says, go daven, it's going to be snow. You're not going to have yeshiva tomorrow. Everything will be taken care of. Don't worry about it. That's what you... So he laughs at the Rebbe. He says, you think the Rabbona Shalom is going to bring snow because I daven? And I look at the kid. I say, you don't believe in your tefillah? You don't believe you could make it snow? You don't believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to listen to tefillah? So leave. What are you davening for? Go out. Leave. I didn't say it so mean like this, obviously, but MS, what are we davening for? If you don't believe, now I don't know, again, the cheshbon of the Rabbona Shalom, I don't know if that particular tefillahs are going to bring the snow or not bring the snow, but potentially they can. Our tefillahs carry weight. And if we don't believe that, why are we davening? So we could waste a few minutes in the day to read Hebrew words? The tefillah has effects and is real. And nothing can happen in the world without tefillah, as we're seeing. Tefillah brought this geula that was already nechtam betit. It was already sealed by the Rabbona Shalom himself. Moshe says, there's one answer, tefillah. And we have to believe in our tefillahs. We have to believe in the koyach tefillah that we have, each and every one of us. So you say, okay, but that was tzaddikim. So this guy can say, shkoyach, Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillahs, those carry weight. Mordechai tzaddik, tefillahs, those carry weight. Esther, Amalka, Shitavening, that carries weight. My tefillahs? My tefillahs, who am I? Arya Cohen, what are my tefillahs? So you see already in the beginning of Bereishis, the pasuk goes through and how when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the plant life and the bushes and that none, it was all created only in potential. When we read about the creation of the world, it was all created only in potential. It didn't yet sprout forth. Rashi explains it only in potential. Until when? Until man was created. And Rashi explains why. Because it couldn't rain yet. But why couldn't it rain yet? It needs rain to be able to bring the plants into the world. So Rashi says, in the beginning of Sefer Bereishis, Parshas Bereishis, Lefish Adam ain't lavo des Adam. You don't have man yet in the world to work the ground. They makir betavasom shel geshamim. He doesn't recognize yet, prior to Adam being around, the importance and the beauty and the good of rain. Ukishba Adam biyada shem sarach lolam. Man's going to come to the world and say the world needs vegetation, the world needs fruits, the world needs trees. Hisbala alem biyardu v'sam chalim v'adsham. Then he'll daven, and through the tefillah, things will sprout and blossom, and you'll have fruit and vegetables and everything else. In other words, what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that nothing's going to exist in the world till we daven for it. Which is the same Yisod we're saying. Everything that happens in the world needs tefillah. God was creating He could have made it be in the world already. He wanted it to be here, but he said, no, it could only actually happen if there's tefillah. So it had to wait till Adam Rishon davened for it. Now let's remember, Adam Rishon, he just got into the world. He's in this world 1 hour. Did he do anything good yet? He did nothing. Did he do any mitzvahs? Nothing. Was he the biggest tzaddik in the world? Absolutely not. He's accomplished nothing in the world, but his tefillos brought all plant life into the world. So you're telling me I need to be a Moshe Rabbeinu, a Mordechai Tzaddik? Imagine the koyach of our tefillos. Everyone in this room has done way more mitzvahs and learned way more Torah and has so many more zchusim than Adam Rishon on that first day of creation. Every single one of us. So imagine, and he created the whole world based on that, basically. The physical world, all fruits and vegetables and vegetation and trees and grass and what we could accomplish through our tefillahs, we have to so deeply believe in the koyach of our tefillahs. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu once davened and wasn't answered. You could ask, right? The same Moshe Rabbeinu that says, tell Mordechai to daven. So we know Moshe Rabbeinu once davened and wasn't answered. What am I talking about? To go into Eretz Yisrael, right? He davened and davened and davened. Not only that, he didn't stop davening. You ready for a big tire? I tell this over to your husband. This one's a big one. He davened and davened and davened. He didn't stop davening. And Hashem says to him, Al Tosef, stop davening. Don't continue. You're not going in. So the Medrash says he davened 515 tefillos. Because what were the words of Tzvi? Ve'eschanan el Hashem. Yidavin Tashem. Ve'eschanan is Gematria 515. Yidavin 515 tefillas. 515 happens to be exactly Gematria tefillah as well. So he like captured the essence of tefillah. Which, by the way, is also Gematria Shira, to tell us that the deepest tefillah is a song, because a song has passion and emotion to it. It's min halev. Tefillah is supposed to be a shira, every tefillah. That's why that's how they daven the Beis HaMikdash, as we all know. So he daven, 515 tefillahs, and Hashem says, stop! You know why he said stop? Because if he would have continued, eventually, Hashem would have had to have let him go into Eretz Yisrael, which wasn't meant to be for various reasons we don't have to explain right now. Now's not the time. Because eventually the tefillahs always break through. But what happened to those tefillahs? He davened 515 tefillahs. And where did they go? What happens to them? So, Veschan Hashem, and Hashem says, Al Tosef. Don't continue. You ready for this, Chavra? You open up Megillas Esther, Vez Hashem, we're going to listen to him at the Shabbos Kodesh, in Perek Ches, Pasuk Gimel. And what's the Pasuk say? Vatosef Esther. Esther continues. By the way, it doesn't talk about Esther speaking the pasuk before that. It's just suddenly Vatosef Esther, she continues. She adds on to what? Adds on to Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillas. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Al Tosef, don't continue. Who continues? Vatosef Esther. Vatidaber lifnei ha-melech. And she speaks to the king, who's the king of all kings, not just Ahasuerus. Vatipa lifnei raglav, and she falls in front of his feet. Vatefk, and she cries and listens to the next word. Vatischanen lo, same lashon. Vatischanen, ve'eschanen, vatischanen lo. She pleads with him, same exact lashon. Ve'eschanen lo Hashem, al tosef. Vatosef Esther, vatischanen lo. Now listen to this. What did it say? What did she do? Vatipa lifnei raglav. Vatipa lifnei raglav. She fell. It's a little bit strange what was going on there. Why did she have to fall in front of his feet? Vatipal. If you take the gematria of Vatipal is exactly 516. Meaning Moshe Rabbeinu v'eschanan al Hashem, 515 tefillahs, and Hashem said stop, because one more, what would have been? Hashem would have had to have answered it, and it wasn't the time. Vatosef Esther. Esther continues. Vatipal. She davens that next tefillah, 516 tefillahs. Geula Shlema, we have Baruch Hashem, a story of Purim to talk about. You hear this? Imagine the koyach of our tefillahs. Imagine every single one of us, how we have to daven on Purim. How we have to daven this Purim. What our chakras should be like this Purim. Whether we have it in us to wake us early and go to Vasikin Minyan. Maybe we don't generally do that, but Mamish to show their bonus, I'm going to wake up early. Whether we don't have that in us, but we're going to daven Mamish a chakras. We're going to daven a mincha. We're going to daven to their bonus. We're going to say to Ilim. We're going to Mamish break through all of the barriers and bring such geula to this world. Because that's what the day is for. That's what was accomplished back then. You know, in the times of the Ksav Sofer, the son of the Chasam Sofer, so there was a king that was once, he was going around, and he went near the town of the Ksav Sofer, and he had with him this sack full of like tremendous wealth. And somehow there was some individual, not a yid, some individual who was very crafty, and he stole the sack from the king when he was traveling in broad daylight. I mean, stole the sack full of wealth, tremendous amount of money, whatever was in it. The king found out a little bit later, was furious. How could this happen? He has guards all around, and what happened? Mamish, he was a very good thief, obviously. And this guy gets away, and they're searching for him, they're looking for him for days, and he's eluding all of them, all the shaitrim, all the police. Eventually he gets scared, they're still looking for him, it's already a week goes by, he decides, he worked for this yid, he was a servant, he was an eved for this yid. So what he did was, he took all the wealth, but the sack that it was in, that would show that it was a king's, he took that sack and he hid it somewhere in the yid's house. So he thought, this would be good. Number one, he can never be caught. Number two, if anyone's caught, it will be the yid that's caught, and everything, it's all good. And kach ave, time went by, and eventually, somehow the police came and checked this yid's house out, and they found this sack of the king, and the imamish cuffs him up right away and take him away, and he's going to be killed a few days later. A week later, chesnish, whatever it was. Steal from the king? death in the public square. I'm going to be hanging you. Ksav Sofer finds out, everybody, all the Yidden and their mamish, he's nonstop, day and night, working hard, talking to whatever officers he knows in the hierarchy in the government, pulling strings, trying his best, talking to the wealthy Jews to put together an amount of money to pay back the amount to the king and convince him that he shouldn't kill him, whatever it was. Because they knew he was a tzaddik, they knew he was innocent. They knew he was innocent. It's the night before he's going to be killed the next morning, and there's nothing left to do. He exhausted all that he could do, and eventually Ksav Sofer falls asleep. And when he falls asleep, the Chasam Sofer, his father, that Zatzal, comes to him in a dream. He says, "What are you doing? There's a Yid that's going to be killed, an innocent Yid going to be killed tomorrow, and you're sleeping. Why haven't you done anything yet? You haven't done anything." And the Ksav Sofer says, "I haven't done anything. Tati, I tried this, I tried that, I tried everything I could do. I've not what left is there to do." And Chasam Sofer said, "Go daven. Go daven." And the Ksav Sofer wakes up. And he realizes, "I have to daven." And he realizes, "What are they doing sleeping? What's the whole town doing?" And he goes around and wakes up the entire village, the entire shtetl, and they all go to shul and daven mamish me'amkus alev, tears streaming down their cheeks, davening for this yid. Next morning, someone out of nowhere comes to the king and says, "You know, I think maybe it wasn't that yid. It was, you know, he has a slave. Maybe we have to look into it, find out what happened, take him in." And they take him, that slave, that guy, for questioning, and he wasn't ready for it because he thought everything was finished. He already thought he was innocent and he's good to go. And he broke down very quickly, and it was very clear what happened. And they let the Yid go free, and they took him and they killed him that day, that Eved. The Koyach of Tefillah. If we haven't davened, we haven't done anything. That's what we have in life, is Tefillah. In every predicament, whatever it might be. Not that we don't also have to put in our shtadlus. But it's the other way around. The ikar is the tefillah. The shtadlus is what's secondary. That's how the world runs. And that's the message of Purim. That's what Purim's all about. Tefillah could accomplish anything. We have to believe it. There's a Gemara Megillah. There's a Gemara Megillah, daf tezvav amibayz. And the Gemara says that when Esther Amalka went into Achashverosh that time, as we all know, Nistalka imenu Shechina, she lost the Shechina, meaning Esther Amalka had a sense of Ruach HaKodesh, and she felt God with her, always. But she went in, at that moment when she was going into the chamber of the king, she lost the Shechina. And that's when she said in Tehillim, "Keili, Keili, lama azavtani. My God, why have you left me?" And she was trying to figure out why the Ribbono Shel Olam left her, and she gives different possibilities. And the Gemara says, maybe she says as follows. Shema al shekarasiv kelev. Miyad kelev yichidasi chazve v'karasi aryeh. He says, maybe, listen to this, very strange Gemara. The Gemara says that Esther Malka says to the Ribbono Shel Olam, "Why'd you leave me? Maybe because I referred to Haman as a dog, as a kelev, and I should have really have been referring to him as a lion." And she started referring to him as a lion. Ma'anyan shmita leitzar Sinai. Shkoyach. I mean, Haman's a dog, he's a lion, he's a creep, he's a Russia, he's a shkoyach, whatever you want to call him. She lost the Shechina because she called him a dog and not a lion. What is going on? The Gemara doesn't explain. That's all it says. So the Marsha explains. He says, "What's the difference between a dog and a lion?" He says, "If a dog is running after you, you know, I still remember. I have this image in my head. When I was young, I was probably, I don't know, maybe 10 years old, 11 years old." And it was a Shabbos afternoon, and I was walking from my house. I don't know if I was going to Mincha, if I was going to a friend's house. I don't remember where I was going. I was with another friend, and we decided to take a shortcut through a backyard, through a particular backyard. And we went through the backyard, and we get to the backyard, and there were a few people in the back hanging out over there. And there was this dog, and the dog starts running after me. starts running, and I'm running. Mom is running, and it's running after me, and it literally eventually bites onto my shoe, just my shoe, Baruch Hashem. And then the people who owned the dog ran after it and screamed out and stopped the dog, and it was all good. I was Baruch Hashem. It was a little bit scary, but I still have that, you know. Obviously, maybe I'm not over it. I don't know, you know. But I think I'm over it. I'm not afraid of dogs, so I guess I'm okay, you know. You know, when a dog is running after you, the Marshal explains, if a dog's running after you, you feel that, okay, it's a scary moment, it's not a good thing. But Bistama, you're going to live, you'll figure out a way to elude the dog, to run away from the dog, to a quick turn, throw something in its way. You could figure out a way to beat the dog. But if a lion's running after you, a lion's running after you, you got no chance. It's not even worth running. You're not going to do anything against that lion. In other words, Esther Malka says, maybe my flaw until now was that as much as I'm trying to defeat Haman, I called him a dog, meaning I thought I could do it on my own. I thought I have some koyach in the world. I have some abilities in the world. I could figure out, and I could think through, I could come up with tactics. And the Rabbanu Shalom, maybe that's why I lost the Shekhinah, because the Rabbanu Shalom says, no, Esther, you got it all wrong. You have to think of Haman like an Aryeh, like a lion. Meaning what? There's no way without Tefillah, without the Rabbanu Shalom, that's the only answer. You can't do anything on your own. And Esther Malka understood this and said, okay, he's a lion, Rabbanu Shalom, I got nothing without you. I am nothing without you. Without the Koyach HaTefillah, without my davening to you, there's nothing here. It's similar, you know, when you read through, where do we learn? Where do we mamish learn how to daven from? Who do we learn how to daven from? We learn from Chana, right? So many of the halachos of tefillah, how we daven our Shemoneh Esrei is learned from Chana. Chana, we know, was davening for children. For many years, she didn't have children. And eventually, Baruch Hashem, her tefillahs are answered. And she has Shmuel HaNavi. When does that happen? When does she daven? Bistoma Chana was davening. Chana was davening always, for a very long time. Suddenly her tefillahs are answered, she didn't daven prior to that. What happens? If you read through the story in the Navi, you'll see that until that time, she had Alkanah by her side, she had her husband by her side, who obviously was also davening for her, also wanted to have children. It's right before this episode, the Alkanah comes to her and says, don't worry, if you never have children, it's okay, I'm better than any children to you, I'll take care of you, we'll have a beautiful relationship. In other words, she heard her husband give up for the first time, and she says, there's nothing left now except for the Rabbanu Shalom. Meaning, until that moment, she was also reliant on the tefillahs of her husband, and her husband as well, his koiches. For the first time, she understood it's only Eibishter. She davened in a way that I understand there's nothing that happens in this world if it's only, unless the Rabbanu Shalom wants it to happen. And it's all dependent on the Rabbanu Shalom. And that's what Esther Malka was coming to that realization as well. And that's what we have to understand on Purim. We have to understand the koyach of the tefillah of Purim, but we have to understand that koyach has to be in a way that I understand there's nothing else but the Rabbanu Shalom that could bring Yeshua. Nothing. That's why it was that Esther as well, Esther Amalka, the significance that she was an orphan, Ein La of the Aim, that she had no mother, no father. When you have a mother and you have a father, you feel like whatever you can do, it's okay, because they'll take care of me. There's nothing that so terrible can happen. They're going to always save me from any difficulty. We always feel that way with our parents. I don't care how old we are. And it's true, they care about us so deeply. Ein La of the Aim means all she had was Avinu Shemayim, the Eibishter and Hamel. All she has is a Rabbanu Shalom. Those were her tefillahs. And that's the way each and every one of us has to daven. And when it comes, Bez Hashem is Barach, this upcoming Matzah Shabbos Kodesh, this upcoming Sunday, we have to be davening Me'am Kus Alev in such a way. For whatever it is that we need. For Yeshua's in refuah, in health. We all have individuals that we know of that need refuah's in health. For refuah's in those that we know that maybe need Yeshua's in having children. Yeshua's when it comes to shiduchim. For just simchas achayim. Just davening for simchas achayim. For siyata dishmaya. And remember, HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps his Torah. So on Purim, the halacha is, as we started out earlier in the Akdama, we said, kol haposhet yad nosin lo. Anyone who asks for tzedakah, you have to give. Anyone who asks of you, you have to give. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps his own Torah. So if we go and we ask of him, He's got to give on Purim. The koyach of tefillah on Purim. He has to give. And we have to believe in that. And daven in a way that we mamish throw ourselves on the Rabbi Nishol. We say, I know it's all you, Eibishter. It's all you. But I want to take it one more step. And give one more idea of what our tefillah should be like on Purim. Because obviously it's so, so important to daven for all that we need and all of the tzaras in the world and all that we need in our lives. But there's something else we have to have in mind when we daven. We have to daven for our ruchnias as well. We have to daven for our closeness to Hashem as well. Rabbi Yosef Elbow, I feel like I might have said this already once before here, in Sefer HaYikarim, he explains tefillah in the most beautiful of ways. He says, how does tefillah work? I'm going to daven, lo aleinu, a person's sick, not well, and they daven for refuah. Shkoyach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu already made a gzeira. He decided you deserve to be sick. Why are your tefillahs going to help? So Rabbi Yosef Elbow explains such an amazing idea. He says, when you daven, you're inspired by your tefillahs. You get closer to Hashem through your tefillahs. Read the words of the tefillah. It's the greatest muster sefer in the world. And you realize how great Hashem is. You walk into the tefillah one way. You walk out of the tefillah a different way. You grow through the tefillah. You become bigger through the tefillah. You become closer to Hashem through the tefillah. So now, the person that deserved the machla prior is not the same person. The machla falls by the wayside. We have to change through our tefillah. We can't forget to daven for ourselves, for our own ruchnias. And we have it within us, each and every one of us. Bipnimius, we're full of kedusha. Baruch Hashem, most of us in the room, b'chitzonius, all of us, our chitzonius is also full of kedusha. But it could be even more. It could be even more. We have to pull that out. You know, we read through the Medrash earlier, and we read through the Medrash that said the gzera, the decree on the Yidden, was betit, with cement, velo bedam, not blood. What's the difference? So Rabbi Yonis and Eibshitz, and Yaros Dvash explains, tit, cement, it represents gashmias, materialism, the physical world. Dam is your interior, is your essence. Ki dam hu anefesh, the pasuk says, it's our soul. Kadosh Baruch Hu was teaching us through the Medrash. You know why we had the ability to daven? Because we were only dark and we only messed up b'chitzonius in our gashmi on the outside. But inside we have the pintalid, we were full of ruchnias, full of kedusha. Our dam was pure still. So then tefillah always works. And that's each and every one of us in this room. Even at times maybe we mess up and maybe I could have stronger kavon in my tefillah and maybe I could be a little bit stronger in the way that I treat other people and speaking Lashon Hara, maybe a little bit better Metznias and a little bit better in other ways, but that's all Chitonius. Be'ikr, my Pnimius, my Dam, I'm Kadosh, and don't forget that. And the avoid of our Tefillah is to get in touch with that, to get in touch with our Neshama, and daven for our Ruchnius as well, not just for our Gashmius. And that's the essence of Purim. That's the essence of Purim. What is it to drink wine on Purim? Nichnas yayim yatasod, the Gemara says. When you drink wine, your soul, your inner sense comes out. Your secrets, who you really are. What is the idea? We're going to dress up in costumes. We're dressed up in costumes. What is that all about? So on one end, just to be besimcha, to have fun, but I'm going to tell you something about the way I always understood it. The way I understood dressing up in costumes is such something that's so beautiful. You see, because the whole avoid of our lives is to pull out that neshama to the chitzonius. And so many of us, that's who we want to be, but it's very hard. Because we're surrounded by people that we feel like we have to put on different faces for, and act in different ways for. In fact, the word face in English, comes from the Latin word facade. We're always so, facade means to be fake. I'm fake. My face is fake. Who I am on the inside is not always who I am on the outside. I act one way with a certain group of friends, one way with another group of friends, one way with my family, one way with... In fact, if you say face with a hard C, it's fake. Mamish is fake. Lashon HaKodesh, what's the word for face? Panim. What's panim? Mipanim. Meaning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us not to be fake, a face. He wants us to be mipanimius. He wants our exterior to be who we are on the inside. You know what I believe happens when we put on a costume? You know what happens when I put on a costume? When I put on a costume, so I'm going to dress up as Superman. Okay, I don't know, what are we dressing up as? I don't know, Shady, what was the theme, whatever we're dressing up as? Egyptians.
Yeah.
So I'm going to dress up as an Egyptian. So I'm going to put on an Egyptian costume. I'm an Egyptian. I'm not an Egyptian. I never was in Mitzrayim. You're not even allowed to go to Mitzrayim. I'm not an Egyptian. When I put on that costume, whatever you're going to dress up as, whatever you put on, you go and put on a gorilla costume. You're a gorilla? You're not a gorilla. And not only are you not a gorilla, everybody know when you put on a costume, it's clear to the world my chitzonius is not who I really am. And it's clear to myself that my chitzonius is not really am. So the irony, and listen closely and understand this, is that putting on a costume, you know what the essence is? That's the way I can get most in touch with who I really am. When it's clear, because now, right now, I pretend and I think I am on the outside who I really am, but ultimately I don't know if that's true. But when I put on a costume, my outside, my chitzonius surely is fake. So who could I be? I could only be who I am on the inside. I could only be my essence. And I have an easier time than figuring out who I really am that way. And I pull my essence to the exterior. Which, that's the ultimate tefillah. Yes, we have to daven for Be'ezus Hashem, Yeshuos and Refuos in all different ways. And daven to the Rabbon Hashem the way Esther Amalka did. But we have to daven for Aruchnis as well. But the essence in the davening gets back to that one you saw. To realize Eino Belvado. To realize there's nothing but the Rabbon Hashem. To realize that Tefillah is what runs everything, and that He wants our Tefillahs, Misave our Tefillahs, and He's desiring our Tefillahs. And that's it. That's all that matters. And I recently read a story. There was a young man in Eretz Yisrael. He's married, had a few kids. He's learning in Kollel, and he was very poor, very poor. And it was coming Pesach time, and they were trying to make ends meet, but Imamish had no idea how he's gonna support his family for Pesach, how he's going to buy food for Pesach. It was right before Pesach, Mamish a few days before Pesach, and he goes to shul one mincha, and Imamish is davening, and he's crying his eyes out. And he was like oblivious to his surroundings. He's so intense that even he davened a little bit loudly, maybe. And after he finishes davening, a yid came over to him, an American Jew, American wealthy Jew who was there visiting for Pesach, and he said, I heard your tefillahs. I want to help you. I want to help you. Do me a favor. I don't have anything on me right now. Come to my hotel tomorrow at 12 o'clock. I'll meet you. I want to help you. Davening, this is what he's davening for immediately afterwards. It's mamish unbelievable, like a shpizin, right? It's like on the spot. So he shows up at the hotel the next day, and Kachavi writes him this check, a tremendous amount of money, not just for Pesach, mamish for like 6 months, it will take care of him. Thousands of dollars. And he's so thankful and such a karzatov, and it was incredible. He was telling his friend this story. So his friend says to him, "That's so amazing. Did you get the guy's name and address? So if you ever need help again, you can reach out to him." He says, "No. Why would I need that? Why would I need that? Because what if you ever need help again? You want to know where to find him, where to find this guy. He's obviously a very special, nice guy." He says, "I don't need his address. He was only the shliach. I have the address of the one who could help me. I dive into the Rabbon Hashem, and the Rabbon Hashem answered my tefillahs, and this was the shliach. I always have the Rabbon Hashem's address, don't worry." And each and every one of us has to remember that and has to believe that. So Mirtz Hashem, Bez Hashem's Baruch, we're coming into Purim, and there's a lot of beautiful mitzvos and hagim, and it's going to be fun and beautiful, and it's a packed day, Mikra Megillah, and Matan Tzvionim, Shalach Manos, and Suda. But let's grab onto the Koich HaTefillah of the day. Let's grab on and follow in the footsteps of Esther Hamalka. Let's remind ourselves that everything that can happen in this world is only through tefillah, and only through the Eibishter, only through Ribbon Shalom. And not forget to daven for our own Ruchnias Bez Hashem. And that way, B'zoicha, the Purim will just be the beginning. You know, after Purim's over, we don't make Havdalah. Because Purim should never end. The Chizik of Purim is going to stay with us. And that's why every Havdalah, as we enter back into a week, we say, "Layud my Sarev Zim Chosas Mikar." We remember Purim. Because I want Purim to be part of my week. I want Purim to be part of my life. I want Purim to be part of every moment of my life. If we daven in such a way, it can be and should be. And b'zoicha that all the tefillos will be with Yeshuos and Refuos. All the tefillos will be answered b'karov to b'zoicha, to the ultimate geula, with Mashiach Tzidkenu, b'mheiru v'yameinu, b'ezras Hashem Yisbarach.